जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 राम
ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರೋ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀ ರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ. ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪೃಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೇ. ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರತ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ. ಸಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೇ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ. ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯಯೇವ ಚ. ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷ್ವ ಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ. ಭಗವತ್ಯುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ. ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ.
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಮಂತ್ ವಿ ಸೆಲೆಬ್ರೇಟೆಡ್ ನರಸಿಂಹ ಚತುರ್ದಶಿ. ಸೊ ವಿ ವೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ರಹ್ಲಾದ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಲೆಫ್ಟ್ ಬಿಹೈಂಡ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ವಿಚ್ ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅಟೆಂಡೆಡ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಲಿಟಲ್ ಎಕೋ ಇಸ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಆರ್ ಯು ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ಹಿಯರ್ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ರಭುಸ್? ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಬಟ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ಹಿಯರ್ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ಲಿ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್? ಮೋರ್ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ ನೌ ಪ್ರಭು? ಆಲ್ ರೈಟ್, ಓಕೆ, ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು. ಯು ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ವಿಚ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ನಂಬರ್? 19? 18. 18 ವಾಸ್ ಓವರ್, ಓಕೆ. See, I have given the heading Lord's Leela 1, number 1, from 16th onwards. 16th verse is 1, 17th is Lord's Leela 2. In the 16th verse, apparently contradictory roles that Lord plays. Although he is unlimitedly powerful, he left Mathura and went to Vraj. That was the first thing we discussed. Then 17th was Lord's Leela, apparent contradictions. No, I don't think we have done this. We have not done the 17. We have not done 17. Anybody remembers what the last one is? Shivaji Prabhu, you remember? Which is the last verse I did? 17th, we have not done it. Yes? It was last month I got into Narasimha Leela. I told about this, how he dealt with his parents, Vasudev and Devaki, after returning from Vrindavan to Mathura back. You can find out. So this chapter, entitled Remembrance of Lord Krishna, this this has multiple advantages by studying this chapter. One advantage is, the Lord's behavior is mysterious to the yogis, but Lord is merciful to the devotees. Like that, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur writes. What is the difference between being mysterious and being merciful? Mysterious means Lord does not allow yogis to understand him very easily. His speech, his behavior, his actions, his pastimes always remain a mystery for Mayavadis and also yogis, because they are not surrendered to the Lord and they try to use their intelligence to understand the Lord by their own endeavors. There is one verse which comes to my mind. Atapite deva padambhujadvaya prasadaleshanugrihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanyamekopi chiran vichinvan shreyashrutim bhakti mudasyate vibho klishyanti ye kevalabodhalabdhaye kleshamasau teshamasau kleshalaye vashishyate nanyatyata sthulatushavagatinam. Brahma is speaking with great repentance these verses. I'll tell you the meaning of this. Brahma says, my dear Lord, in this world, Shreya Shatim Bhakti Mudasyate Vibho, rejecting the simple path of Bhakti Yoga, some people take to the path of Jnana or Yoga, and they try to intellectually understand you. They try to analyze you. They put you under the electronic microscope and try to study you through their own senses and mind and intelligence. And the result is, by trying to understand you by their brain, 200 gram of gray matter or brain, the result is, do they achieve anything? They say it is like taking a empty husk and beating. When you beat an empty husk, do you get something? Yeah, you get something. That is trouble in the hand, he says. Pain in the hand you get. That's all they get, he's saying. Tushavagatina. Nanya tata sthula tushavagatina. So, imagine if there is a worm here, the worm has to find the root of the tree. It will crawl like this and come here and think this is the root. In this way, different worms in different places may think the branch to be the root. But the worm can understand the root when somebody picks up the worm and puts him exactly at the root. Makes it easy. Like one time we were supposed to go to an ISKCON temple. So, they were ready to send the car to pick us up, but we were little shy to ask. We told them, no, you just give the address, you know, we will find out. And then we took 4 hours to reach the temple, because we went round and round and round all over the city. We had a big struggle to reach. So, because many people in India don't clearly tell you whether they know the route or not. Even if they don't know, they try to say something to be a good person. So therefore, we were directed here and there. But imagine if somebody comes to Pune station, picks you and puts you in their car and brings you to the NVCC, how easy it will be for you. Correct? In Pune, there is a Hare Krishna temple. And there is a Hare Krishna temple. Hare Krishna temple is in camp. Hare Krishna temple is in Ganesh Kind. Any of you heard that? So if you tell the auto wala Hare Krishna temple, he takes you to Ganesh Kind first. Senapati Papatmar, near there. And then you say, this is not ISKCON. Then they will bring you to camp. And they will take you 800 rupees from you. So therefore you need somebody who knows the truth and hear from them, life becomes easy for you, very easy. And that is called parampara. So those two verses talk about that, that one should not speculate about God. This chapter is full of bewildering pastimes explained by Uddhava. Therefore, I had given the title, my Lord's pastimes, are they bewildering or are they benedictions? So, in the beginning, we saw one verse. Sometimes the Lord's activities may be bewildering and even devotees wonder why the Lord does like this. Like once I was reading a leela, that Lord Krishna came to Mathura and then he took the clothes from one dobi. And the dobi protested. The dobi said, you cannot touch these clothes. These clothes belongs to Kamsa. And then Krishna Balaram said, me and my coward boys, we want to wear some nice dress. And the dobi said, oh, impudent boys, how dare you ask for these clothes of the king? Next time you even ask it, you'll be arrested. Something like that, very strongly he spoke. So at that time, Krishna just took his hand and touched his neck. And immediately the head fell off of the dobi. I was shocked when I read it first time. So two things surprised me. One is how Lord's hand has, it seems it has a knife or something. You know, he touches it and head fell off. Can you touch somebody's neck and it falls off? So Lord's inconceivable potency to kill somebody by touching. That was one thing amazed me. Another thing that amazed me was, if such a small thing, why did Krishna kill him? You know, and also Dobi didn't say anything wrong. He told it was Kamsa's, it belonged to Kamsa and nobody else should ask for it. That way he was not wrong, he was right. Like that it came in my mind, the thought came. So I was surprised when I read it first time. I asked a few people, why did Krishna do this? This is not very convincing. They said, you should not ask. When Lord does something, you should just fold your palms, close your eyes and accept it. Because if you say why Lord did this, Lord will become angry. And by the way, for your information, Lord is everywhere. He's in every atom. Right now he is watching. Better you cooperate with the Lord. Otherwise you can't go back to God. That's what they told me. 2-3 people I tried asking. Later, I read one article in Krishna Kathamrita Bindu magazine. Thank God, Krishna purposely sent that magazine to me, I think, because I had this question. So in that magazine, there was a mention that when Lord Ramachandra was ruling, after he brought Mother Sita back, Pattabhishek was over, Lord Rama sent one jasus, one spy, his name was Durmukh. So this fellow, while going around Ayodhya, he saw in one place, a dobi was telling his wife. His wife was weeping. He told his wife, get out of here, I can't accept you as my wife anymore. Because yesterday night you didn't return back. You went to some faraway village, you were supposed to come back yesterday night, you didn't return. So you slept with somebody, so I cannot accept you. Wife cried and said, it was very heavy rains. It was very dark. I couldn't come alone. There was no one to protect me. Got late. But he said, do you think I am like Ram? That he allowed his wife to stay in Lanka with Ravana for so many months and then he accepted him? Like that the dobi asked. Get out of here. And Durmukh Jasus exactly reported to Ram. When Ram heard it, you know, Ram thought, Caesar's wife must be above suspicion. That's a saying in English. Which means the king has to be spotless. One small blemish on the king, immediately people will point fingers. Sanyasira alpachidra sarvaloka gai. Mahaprabhu also says that. If a sanyasi, a brahmachari or a leader or anybody for that matter should not have any blemish. So Lord Rama thought, is this what my praja is thinking about me? About Sita and me? So immediately you all know what he did. After he banished Sita. So this dobi became the cause of separating the Shakti and Shaktiman. Just like Ravana also separated, this dobi also separated. So he had that offense of becoming the cause of separating Lord and his consort. So the same dobi, next life he was born in Mathura. So when Krishna went, Lord Rama didn't punish the dobi, then Krishna finished him. Krishna touched his neck and his head was cut off. So, because the dobi offended Sita in the previous life, now he maintained the same offensive attitude. in the next life also. Seems that our offensive attitudes don't go away very easily, even after some lifetimes also. Like you will see, Daksha Prajapati offended Shiva in which canto? Fourth canto. Later on, you know that he got a goat's head and everything. Then next life he appeared as a Kshatriya. Earlier he was a Brahmana, now he was demoted to the Kshatriya platform. But that time also he had an offensive attitude towards Narada. You will see that. Because the offensive attitude towards Shiva now came towards Narada now. In the sixth canto you will see. So, similarly this Dobhi did not reform. The next life the Dobhi was born in Mathura when Lord Krishna came. Lord Krishna, Lord Rama are same person only now. In Tattva is the Supreme Lord. He said, can you please give me this, some of these clothes for me and my friends? What should have the Dobhi ideally done? He should say, oh my dear Lord, you are the Supreme. And you say, aham sarvasya prabhu matta sarvam pravartate. Everything comes from you, including all these clothes. So you may take whichever one you like. It's according to your choice. That's what he's supposed to say. Or he can say, my dear Lord, you take whatever clothes you want. Only please tell me, how should I answer to Kamsa? I'm not very sure. My life will be in trouble. You take the clothes, but you say, me Krishna will tell him, don't worry, I'll finish Kamsa now. He will not ask about the clothes. Eventually Krishna finished Kamsa, no? So we should follow Dobhi's path or the Kubja's path. What Kubja did, Kubja was carrying Chandan. For whom? Every day she used to carry for Kamsa. Then Krishna saw Kubja with a kubdi, with a hunchback coming with a stick. He just joked her saying that, hey Kubja, who is tall and thin and beautiful lady. But actually she was very short with a hunchback and, you know, trembling. She was a old lady. So he asked, where are you going? She said, I am going to Kamsa to give this chandan. Krishna said, you see, if this sandalwood pulp, if you apply on Balaram's forehead and my forehead, you will become fortunate. So when Kubja heard it, you know, she didn't even think for a moment. There was a big risk involved for her. Kamsa's spies were always roaming around everywhere. Because especially all the more so at that time. Why? Because Krishna Balaram are going to come now. And for the Dhanur Yajna and subsequently the Malyudha and all that. So there must have been spies in every lane practically. Imagine if Kubja is taking the Chandan and applying on Krishna and Balaram, if one of the spies takes the news to Kamsa, what do you think will happen? Kamsa will behead her same day. But she did not fear even losing her life. This is called Mahashuchaha principle. Who says Mahashucha? Sarvadravan Parityajya Mamekam Saranam Raja. Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami. She was not fearful. She was bold enough to go and offer to Krishna Balaram. Then Krishna gave her a very beautiful girl, young girl's form. So Kubja surrendered to Krishna despite Kamsa's presence. But Dobhi did not surrender. Rather, Dobhi protested. Not only protested, he chastised Krishna because of the old offensive mentality. And therefore, Krishna delivered him. Actually, my spiritual master in his lectures never would use the word Krishna killed anybody. Krishna liberated him, he would say. Because killed may be a bad word for some people. Painful word. But it's a fact that... So after I read that, I was completely convinced. In fact, I was already angry with the Dobhi in Ramayana. I was so upset when I read this. Dobhi spoke like this about Sita. I wanted to slap him. And I first time read it. How dare you speak about Mother Sita like this? And when Lord Ram banished Sita to forest, I broke down first time when I heard it. On one hand, I appreciated Lord Rama's integrity and his purity and conviction and standing for the truth, being an ideal king. On the other hand, Sita was so dear to his heart, as good as his own life. To be without her is not an ordinary thing. To send her to the forest, and all happened because of this Dobhi. So now you get a complete picture, then the pastime is no more bewilderment for you. Then you understand why Lord did what. Thanks to all the acharyas who have helped us to get a very clear understanding. Similarly, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one incident where Arjuna is crying tears. In the 13th chapter, 14th chapter, you will read. 14th, 15th chapter, you will find Arjuna goes to Dwaraka and returns back. Krishna has left the planet and gone to his abode. While speaking many verses, one verse Arjuna tells Krishna, Arjuna tells to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Tadvai danushta ishavaha saratohayaste soham soham rati nripatayo yat anamanti sarvam kshanena tadabhu dasadisha riktam bhasman hutam kuhakaradam ivoptamushyam. He is telling, my dear brother, I am the same Arjuna, this is the same chariot, this is the same Gandiva bow. Where is my potency, where is my strength gone? I am not able to fight with this Dhanush, this Gandiva, like I fought in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And how do I know that? He said, when I was bringing the queens of Dwaraka to bring them to Vraj, from Dwaraka to Vraj, on the way, some infidel coward men came and attacked me, a few of them. I tried to attack them back, but they defeated me very easily, although they didn't have any big weapons. And even with my Gandiva, I could not resist them, I could not restrain them, I could not drive them away. They looted some of the queens of Dwaraka. So when he heard this, when Arjuna was saying this, he cried tears. Now, when any of us hear this pastime, we will be shocked. My Lord, some of Krishna's queens were stolen and nobody protected them. It creates a kind of, you know, uneasiness in the heart of the devotee, fear in the heart of devotee, and also the Dwaraka queens are Krishna's property. How Lord Krishna could not protect them? These kind of questions will come in our mind. And Arjuna is saying this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And he says that now I am rendered impotent or not powerful now. And then he says, why? When there was Kurukshetra battle, I was needed to establish dharma. So Krishna used me as an instrument. Now he has taken away that power of Gandiva because I may become proud of this power. So he took it away, he says. Of course, this is understandable, but what about the stolen queens? So in the Purana, in Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has quoted another one of the Puranas from where he has, Kurma Purana, I think, one of the Puranas he is taking from where he has quoted another related history, where he says that one time some apsaras in heaven, they served one Ashtavakra Muni very nicely. And that Muni was very happy. He blessed all the apsaras, told them that all of you, may you become blessed to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead as your husband. Like that he gave a blessing. And they all became extremely happy and profusely thanked him and offered him obeisances. Now when Ashtavakra Muni was going, behind his back, these apsaras were giggling and laughing and joking. Hey, look at this fellow. He has 8 twists in his body. Ashtavakra. The way he walks, how he walks, you see. Some people have a tendency to joke about everyone and everything. Hey, look at that fellow, how he walks, how he speaks, how he laughs, you know, how he does this, how he does that. They have a habit of commenting about others. So when they commented like this, you think Ashtavakra Muni did not know? This fellow's the problem with these big fellows is they have jnana chakshu, they have. Like Shukracharya saw Ambarish Maharaj taking charanamrit with his jnana chakshu. They can see. So Ashtavakra Muni saw, what? These ladies, they served me prasad and everything and took good care of me. Now they are laughing at me. So he cursed them. What he cursed them? He cursed them that you ladies, you will all be stolen away by husband. I mean, your husband will be lost and you will be stolen away by thieves and infidel men in your life. So he cursed them. So they all became frightened. Because a woman is always to be protected by a man, either her father or husband or son. Oh, we will become anath, orphans, and will be stolen away by other men. So they all cried loudly and they fell at the feet of the rishi and said, sorry, 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 we somehow joked about you, please forgive us. Then the rishi took pity on them. He told them, okay, see, I cannot take away the curse, but I will modify my curse, he said. The person who will come to steal all of you will be your husband only. Lord Krishna only will come as infidel covered man and he will only steal you. Don't worry. Then they all became very happy. So this pastime happened later. when the those apsaras became Dwaraka queens, and they were carried by Arjuna to Vrindavan, but on the way they were stolen by infertile covered men. Who were those men? Krishna only came as those covered men and stole as per the benediction given by Ashtavakra Muni. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has quoted it in his Bhagavatam commentary this past time. Now after you hear this evidence, your mind will become peaceful. Okay, Lord Krishna only comes in this way, there is no problem. Similarly, you know that Brahmana in Madurai in Tamil Nadu, when he heard that Mother Sita was stolen away by Ravan, you know, he became broken hearted. He even stopped eating. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, the lady who was taken by Ravana was not actual Sita. Sita nobody can touch. Who was that? Maya Sita. So therefore, whenever we are bewildered by any pastime in the Bhagavatam, the bewilderment is only because we don't know the complete picture. We only have a partial picture. Like for example, one devotee was asking, why there are contradictions in scripture, Prabhuji? For example, one scripture says, one Prabhuji from Pune, you know, took his car and went to Bombay, Grant Road, Radha Gopinath Temple for hearing Bhagavatam class. And he came. Say, one Purana says. Another Purana says, the same Prabhuji's name may say, this Prabhuji went to Lonavala. You know, he was found Lonavala sitting in his car near the mountain. Now you may say, one says he went to Bombay, one says he went to Lonavala. How do you reconcile both? Actually, he went in his car. He wanted to relax a bit, so he took a detour to Lonavala for some time. After half an hour, then again he took the car and went to Bombay. So then you get a complete picture. So sometimes one Purana gives one truth, another Purana gives another part of the truth. Like Nila Varaha and Shweta Varaha. One Purana says Lord Varaha color was Nila Varaha, it says, blue. Another one says Shweta Varaha, no, he's white. So then which one is true? Is Varaha blue or white? You will be confused. You may go and ask dozen devotees, Prabhuji, is it blue or white or red? What color? There is a red color Varaha also. So you may want to know, Tadekam Badanishchitya Yena Shayoham Apniyam. Arjuna says, tell me one truth, which one is true? Is it blue or white or red? So the answer is very simple. These Varahas appeared in different kalpas. Because in this universe, so many ages have gone. So in one kalpa, Lord appeared in red color. Another, you will see the picture, red color Varaha. Another time, he appears blue. So don't try to limit the Lord. Not only this, in different kalpas, Lord slightly performs the pastimes differently. Like Kaliya, when Lord subdued Kaliya, Krishna told Kaliya, never ever come to Vrindavan. He said, go to Nagaland, live with other Nagas, he told them. But in another Purana, another place, it's explained, Lord told Kaliya that whenever I need you, I will call you to Vrindavan and you can take me and covered boys for a joy ride in Vrindavan. So you may wonder why there are two different things said, but they are said in two different places. Many of the Bhagavatam pastimes are also explained in Vishnu Purana and Padma Purana also. You will get more details. For example, you all know Chatushkumara cursed Jaya Vijay to go to Bhuloka to become demons three lifetimes. You all know that. But Lord Vishnu told Jaya Vijay, actually Kumaras cursed you because it was my will that you should go to Bhuloka. Therefore, because I want to enjoy the stunt rasa, virya rasa with you, fighting with you. You will become demons and I will fight with you and I want to enjoy that, Lord said. So Jaya Vijay was shocked. My Lord, was it your will that we spoke like that with Kumaras and then Kumaras cursed us? My dear Lord, you are not happy with our service. You want to dispatch us to Bhulok? At that time, Lord Vishnu told them, you see, you fellows already have a curse from Lakshmi to go to Bhulok before. Because once when Lakshmi came to the door of Vaikuntha, you even stopped her also. And Lakshmi asked, hey, I am your mother. I am Swamini of the spiritual world. And how dare you stop me? So you told that, no, Lord is resting. Nobody should disturb him. Then she challenged both of you. Is Lord Vishnu your Lord or is he my Lord? I am half of his body. I am Ardhangini. And you claim that he is your Swami. So she challenged. She said, come, let us ask Lord Vishnu only. So they both went to Lord Narayana. One side Lakshmi was standing, other side Jayavijay was standing. Jayavijay asked him, "My dear Lord, you are our Lord, you agree?" And Lakshmi said, "My dear Lord, tell me correctly, are you my Swami or their Swami?" So this is called Dharma Sankat. Correct, no? So Lord was really in trouble. See, in this world, if you are put into Dharma Sankat, you oftentimes wonder how to escape. Oftentimes you can't escape. You become a bad guy. If you support one side, the other party becomes angry. If you support the other party, this party becomes angry. But Lord Vishnu has a trick. Lord Vishnu showed a beaming smile on his face, seeing that both the parties forgot the question only. But Lord Vishnu reminded Jayavijaya about this incident. Do you remember? Lakshmi had cursed you that you will go to Bhulok at that time. This is mentioned only in one shloka in Bhagavatam. If you read now, in the Bhagavatam you will find there is only one verse, but in Vishnu Purana it is elaborately explained, this whole incident. So, sometimes when you, the beauty of the Shastra is, the same things are corroborated in various places, and more details are available. If you read Garga Samhita, in Garga Samhita you will even read about Putana's previous life, what she was, Agasura's previous life. You get very detailed. Sometimes Putana's two previous lives also are mentioned in Garga Samhita. Only thing is, we don't have so much time to fathom the vast literatures. So one conclusion we can come to, if I am bewildered about something, that is due to my ignorance. We can be confident about it, because we are not aware of the total picture or a broader picture. There are many learned devotees. Whenever I get some doubts, I send to Hari Parshat Prabhu for clarification, because he is very widely read in the scriptures. So one should know that Lord's pastimes may be superficially bewildering, but they have always a deep meaning, why the Lord does what he does. So last time we finished up to 16th verse. We will recite the 16th verse and then we will go to 17th. Mam kedayatyetadajasya janma vidambanam yat vasudeva gehe vrajet vasori bhayadi vasvayam purat vyavatsit yadananta viryah. Yeah, translation, please read it.
When I think of Lord Krishna, how he was born in the prison house of Vasudev, although he is unborn, how he went away from his father's protection to Vraja and lived there incognito out of fear of the enemy, and how, although unlimitedly powerful, he fled from Mathura in fear, all these bewildering incidents give me distress.
Yeah. See, what was surprising to Uddhava? Uddhava, not only Uddhava, Uddhava and many devotees feel, why should Krishna be taken from Kamsa's jail to leaving Mathura and going to Vraj? Instead, Krishna is God. As soon as he is born, immediately he can destroy Kamsa. As soon as he is born, correct, no? He can finish off Kamsa and show to the world that although I am born as a baby, I am Supreme Lord. See, this is our own will and wish. We should allow the Lord to do what he wants to do. Correct, no? Why did Krishna go to Vraj from Mathura? That is the reason. Because Krishna in this world appears for multiple reasons. In the jail of Kamsa, Krishna could only exchange, you know, very Aishwarya Rasa. Because Devaki and Vasudev, you see the look at Devaki's photo. What she is doing? Pranam Mudra. Anjali. Kritanjali Mudra. Have you ever seen any mother doing this to her child? Child one. Mother will do. Will you see that? That is because she is feeling reverence towards Krishna. She called Krishna as Harim. This is Lord Hari. He deserves to be worshipped. But then Lord Hari is appearing as a baby, tender baby. Then she also called as Sutam. He is also our son. He is Lord also and he is our child also. See Vasudev's left hand, you see. He is praising the Lord, telling his glories. My dear Lord, you are the same Mahavishnu from whose body all the universes come. First you enter each universe, then you enter each atom, then you enter the hearts of all living beings. If you have entered multiple universes and atoms and the hearts of living beings, What is so wonderful that you have entered the womb of my wife? You can enter anywhere and appear from anywhere. You are free. You are to appear on your own. So husband is praising and wife is worshipping. Both are in reverential mood. So Krishna thought, my Lord, what is this? In this world I have come to receive love from my devotees, the too intimate love. But these people are too formal. In intimate love there is lot of fun, lot of joy. But you can't have such intimate love with anybody. For example, imagine you have your friend next to your house. If you are friends with each other for many, many years, then you can just barge into his house anytime, go into the kitchen, open the fridge, take a sandwich, you know, take a plate and serve yourself, put some tomato ketchup and then start eating it and relaxing in an easy chair. And then your friend may come and then you may ask your friend, "Kaise chal raha hai sahab? How is everything?" So on the other hand, if a friend is not so intimate, you will stand at the door and ask, "Please may I come in?" And the friend may say, "Okay, please come in." And then when he tells you, "Please take a seat," then you take a seat. If he gives you a glass of water, you may drink. And if he gives you some tiffin, you will eat. If he doesn't give anything, you will not ask. So you all understand what is formal relation, what is informal relation. So that informal, intimate behavior of Krishna with his devotees happens in Nanda Gokulam. And the intimate and the formal relationship happens in the jail of Kamsa, as you see here. So which is more sweeter? You are doubtful? That depends on our mood also. Some people are very formal and some are very informal. So actually informal relationship is more intimate. And Krishna loves it. And Krishna wants to display such pastimes where? In Vrindavan. Therefore, in relation to Yashoda, Nanda, covered boys, covered girls, cows, calves and all others. So therefore, Krishna appeared that, it appeared he was afraid of Kamsa and he fled from Mathura to Vrindavan. You know, he was not afraid. Even as a baby, he killed Putana. It won't be difficult for him to kill Kamsa also. But he especially went to Vrindavan for another purpose. That is to display his colorful, informal pastimes. How intimate can God be? If you want to know, no religion in any part of the world can teach us the most intimate aspects of God's behavior towards his loving servitors. Nowhere in the world you will find. Most people in the world think of God as G.O.D., generator, operator, destroyer. They don't know anything beyond that. Whereas the Vrindavan pastimes, you can not only, you know, see God eye to eye, you can speak to him, you can play with him, you can do mischief with him. You can watch him in his topmost platform of intimate exchange of rasa with his mother, with his friends, with his lovers, with even animals and birds. So Vrindavan Dham is the highest abode. So therefore, Lord Buddha is saying, "My dear Lord, you are leaving Mathura and going to Vraja. Although you are unlimitedly powerful, you are running away from Mathura will be misunderstood by the atheistic fellows. They will say, 'Deko, deko, deko, see, Krishna was born in the jail. Why did he run away to Nanda Gokulam?' That means he is afraid of Kamsa." Like that, people may criticize you. Like that, Uddhava is saying. So let's go to the 17th verse.
Dunoti chetas marato mamaitat. Yadah padava vibandya pitroho. Tatambakam sat urushankitanam. Prasidatam no kritanishkritinam.
Yeah, translation.
Lord Krishna begged pardon from his parents for their inability to serve their feet due to being away from home because of great fear of Kamsa. He said, "O mother, O father, please excuse us for this inability. All this behavior of the Lord gives me pain at heart."
See, Krishna, as soon as he appeared in the jail of Kamsa, you all know, the very same day, the midnight, as you see in the picture here, Vasudev is carrying him
to
Gokulam. So now he has spent 11 years in Vrindavan. Now he comes to Mathura, kills Kamsa. After that, Krishna Balaram are going and meeting. I got one very old photo. You can see this. See Vasudev and Devaki in the jail of Kamsa. The jail keepers are sleeping. You saw that? So I went to sleep. Generally watchmen sleep, I think. But they especially slept because Krishna's arrangement. Krishna is supposed to go to Gokulam. I got one more picture. This picture, see? They are meeting now. Vasudev and Devaki are meeting Krishna Balaram now. So, now when they return back, Krishna Balaram, after killing Kamsa, they are coming to meet their mother and father. Very old picture, I think. So, Krishna Balaram are telling the parents that any mother in this world, after begetting a child, she has a great longing to feed the child, and pamper the child, play with the child, spend time with the child. After all, the child's body is an extension of mother's body. So, such attachment is very natural. But, oh mother Devaki, we didn't give you that joy. We left you and we went to Vrindavan. And then they're turning to their father and saying, Father, any father in this world has a desire that I want to send my son to Gurukula and do the Yajnopavitya Dharanam, the sacred thread ceremony, and also Vidyarambha, and then study under the Guru in the ashrama. And then only you become a dvija. The word dvi means two. First birth by the seminal father, second birth by the Guru. So in this way, one is supposed to go to Guru's ashrama. So they are saying that we didn't go to any Guru's ashram because we have, as soon as we were born, we were immediately taken to Vrindavan. So they are understanding the heart of mother and father and very empathically speaking. As soon as Devaki heard Krishna speaking like this, she cried tears. Krishna was telling, my dear mother, we have been extremely ungrateful in satisfying both of you. And we did not display our childhood pastimes in front of you. Only Yashoda and Nanda saw those pastimes. You didn't see. And because of this cruel Kamsa, you were arrested and put in jail. And we were separated by the will of Providence. So we were away. Therefore, now we have come back to please you and satisfy you. So, the Vatsalya in the heart of Devaki Vasudeva was aroused. As soon as Krishna Balaram, immediately they embraced them, smelled their head, like you see in the picture. So, Vasudeva and Devaki felt that joy of meeting their children after 10, 11 years or so. So, that is explained here. But what Uddhava is telling, why Uddhava was very amazed? Read the purport.
It appears that Lord Krishna and Baladev were both very greatly afraid of Kamsa and therefore they had to hide themselves. But if Lord Krishna and Baladev are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how was it possible that they were afraid of Kamsa? Is there any contradiction in such statements? Vasudev, due to his great appreciation for Krishna, wanted to give him protection. He never thought that Krishna was the Supreme Lord and could protect himself. He thought of Krishna as his son.
Yeah. See, nobody can protect the Lord. Like in Vaikuntha, do you think doors are required in Vaikuntha? In this world, we have doors. Why? Night when you are sleeping, a thief may come and loot the house. Correct, no? Whereas in Vaikuntha, there is no need of a door because anybody comes to door, Lord Narayana is in the heart of that person. He can easily know. And ultimately, the jivas cannot act without the sanction of Paramatma. Paramatma is the sanctioner. He says, Upadrashta, what is the second word? Anumanta. Anumanta means he's a permitter. So if somebody has to enter Vaikuntha also, without Vishnu's permission, they cannot enter. Then what is the need of door in Vaikuntha? What is the need of door keepers in Vaikuntha? Tell me. The Lord has the door and doorkeepers because the devotees of the Lord are in love with the Lord. So they are afraid that Lord should be protected. And they would want the door to be there. And they would want to stand at the door and at least have the joy of being a protector of the Lord. That is due to their bhav. Same with Vasudev also. Vasudev told Krishna that, before Kamsa comes here, we want to take you to a security, a safe place. to protect you. So, this type of the love, the fear arising from love is also very pleasing to Krishna. The fear arising from love to protect the Lord. Lord must be laughing inside his mind. Look at these devotees, they are so afraid of protecting me. Nobody can kill me because Lord is supreme. Nobody can favor him, nobody can kill him. You can't damage anything of the Lord because Lord's body is Satchidananda. You know, he jumped off from a mountain called Pravarshana. Krishna Balaram, did they damage their legs or anything? Because they have Satchidananda body. Nothing happens to Lord's body. Nobody can kill him. Many have tried fighting with Krishna. You will see everybody who fought with Krishna, they were only killed. You take Akasura, Bakasura, Putana, everybody. Even Banasura. All the Asuras are finished fighting against Krishna. Nobody can kill Krishna. So, but still, the pure devotees out of love, they feel fear. Just even in this world, you can see a mother sometimes is more worried about the son than the son. Like, son is grown up. And he can stand on his own leg. But the mother still feels that, you know, my son needs me, needs my guidance. Let us ask, how many mothers and fathers you feel that your children need your guidance, need your support, need your help. But while you look at your son, that he says, why are you taking so much attention? Leave me and I can take care. Any of your experience? Almost 10, 20 have confidently raised the hand. Okay. Others will experience more when your son grows up. You will see that. Sometimes you will see, the mamata of the parents is more than mamata of the children for the parents. Parents actually worry more about the children. They think of the children more than the children thinking of the parents also. So, understanding their mindset, Krishna spoke like this, Krishna Balaram. So, therefore, as soon as that was spoken, immediately their heart melted. Yeah. Read it further.
Because Vasudev was a great devotee of the Lord, he did not like to think that Krishna might be killed like his other children. Morally, Vasudev was bound to deliver Krishna to the hands of Kamsa because he had promised to turn over all his children. But out of his great love for Krishna, he broke this promise. And the Lord was very pleased with Vasudev for his transcendental mentality. He did not want to disturb the intense affection of Vasudev, and thus he agreed to be carried by his father to the house of Nanda and Yashoda. And just to test the intense love of Vasudev, Lord Krishna fell down in the waters of the Yamuna while his father was crossing the river. Vasudev became mad after his child as he tried to recover him in the midst of the rising river.
Two points are made, very important points. See, the integrity of Vasudev was so great that even a demon like who? Kamsa believed in him. When Vasudev told Kamsa, hey Kamsa, don't kill my wife because she is not going to kill you. Only her eighth son is going to kill you, right? Why only eighth son? I will hand over every child to you, whoever is born of us. And at that time, Kamsa desisted from killing Devaki because he had complete trust in the words of Vasudev. You can imagine, the integrity of devotees should be so pakka that even demons can trust them. Like we say, Dhira, Adhira, Janapriya. So Kamsa trusted him. So now the first child, second child, third child, all children were given to Kamsa. But when the eighth child came, Kamsa was not aware that the child is born. But Vasudev broke his integrity. Why? Because he didn't give the child to Kamsa. He thought, if I give this Krishna to Kamsa, Kamsa will kill. And here is Supreme Lord, I don't want him to see him killed. So he broke his integrity and took the child to Nanda Gokulam. Even though Kamsa and the entire world may criticize Vasudev for not keeping his word, for breaking his word. See, Lord and the devotee, you will find their behavior is always like this. For the sake of Lord, a devotee is ready to lose his reputation also by breaking his own vow for the protection of the Lord. Same thing Lord Krishna did in the battle of Kurukshetra. You know, he lifted the wheel of the chariot and ran charging towards Bhishma. At that time he broke the vow. What was the vow? I will not lift any weapon. So everybody was watching in the battlefield and they said, see, look at this Krishna. He says one thing and does another thing. And Krishna said, say what you want, but I have to protect my devotee Arjuna. Same way Krishna again lifted the chakra and two brahmastras were sent by Ashwatthama to kill, one for killing Pandavas, one for killing the posthumous child, Parikshit, last child. So when Krishna saw, he thought this cannot be handled by Pandavas. So he took his chakra and cut off one of the Brahmastras. Another Brahmastra, before it can do anything, Krishna entered the womb of Uttara. In Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says the Brahmastra had almost burned into ashes the child's body, but Krishna recovered it again, revived it, Parikshit's body. So there Prabhupada writes, Kurukshetra battle was not yet over, it was almost over. But Krishna took the chakra and counteracted Ashwatthama's Brahmastra. What does that mean? So even if the people call him as a, somebody who has broken the vow, Krishna didn't mind it. So Krishna had two choices. He can be called as a worldly moralist or a Bhakta Vatsal who protected his devotees. So which one Krishna preferred? Bhakta Vatsal. Imagine the two Brahmastras are coming and Krishna says, "Hey Pandavas, I am very sorry. I never thought that Ashwatthama will release two Brahmastras like this. And now I cannot lift any weapon. By the way, you all know I have taken a vow. Isliye aap log mar jao. What can I do? So you people have to die now. I am sorry." And then Krishna's name will come in Bhagavatam as a perfect moralist. Do you think Krishna wanted that? No. He said, let the world say what they want to say. I want to be known as more as Bhakta Vatsal. So Lord also broke his vow to protect the devotee. And Vasudeva broke his integrity of not keeping the word to protect Lord Krishna. So that goes to show the morality of a devotee. So please repeat after me. Prabhupada gives the definition. Standard morality means that morality by which the Supreme Lord is pleased. This is the definition Prabhupada gives. This is the ultimate morality. So Krishna's desire was to go to Gokulam. So Vasudeva pleased Krishna. So you can't call him an immoralist. The Lord is pleased by that. So that is the point he explains. And another thing he explains, Prabhupada explains, when Vasudeva was carrying Krishna like this on a basket, Krishna wanted to play some pastime with Vasudeva. See, the Lord always enjoys exchanging love with those who are his lovers. Like Vasudeva is a lover. Devaki is a lover of God. Yashoda, Nanda Baba, and the other devotees. The Lord admires the behavior of the devotee. The Lord is charmed by the love of the devotee. See, Lord knows our Vasudeva loves me so much. He is such a pure devotee of mine. Lifetime after lifetime, he has been my lover. Now he wanted to accelerate that love for a moment and see a display of that love. So what did Krishna do? He jumped off from the basket into the waters. Imagine Vasudeva sees that Krishna has drowned in the water. How will he feel? He became extremely anxious. Vasudeva jumped up and got hold of the child and put in the basket again, lifted it up. And Krishna enjoyed seeing that anxiety on his, on the face of Vasudeva. Like sometimes you find parents have a desire to play with the child, son or daughter, little baby, boy. But the children want to play with toys. You have seen that? Children are enjoying the toys, but parents want to play with the children. But sometimes you will find in that room, a bumblebee comes. Immediately the child will jump up from the place and run to the mother or father and go and tightly embrace them. So the parents will feel thanks to this bumblebee. Because now the child wants to be with me on my lap or on my shoulder or whatever. They feel nice. Similarly, Krishna creates situation in this world for his devotees where devotees will rush to his lotus feet. When the devotional service is accelerated, devotee is seriously practicing, then Krishna feels great joy. Actually, Krishna is called as a jealous lover. This word is quoted in the Nectar of Devotion. Jealous lover means he doesn't want his devotee to get distracted by anything. And he also will not get distracted by anything. Can I give you an example? When Jarasandha brought 21 Akshauhinis. And Kalayavana brought also 7 Akshauhinis. So both these fellows attacked Mathura together. You know what Krishna was doing? Krishna coolly walked out of the battlefield. Therefore, he's called Ranchod, no? Ranchod Raiki. Why he did Ranchod? They were asking both, hey, where is this fellow going? We have brought so many warriors to fight and this fellow is coolly walking out of the battlefield. Can you imagine? But Krishna was walking out because he said, sorry, I am not fighting now. I have important business now, he said. What is that important business? Rukmini's letter had come. Brahmana had brought it to Dwaraka. Krishna said, because my devotee is calling me, I have to go now. So he left and went. So for Krishna, the devotee is so important, he can leave a big battle and push off also, very coolly, without even giving them the reason also. So you will see how much Krishna avoids any other distraction in reciprocating with the love of his devotee. He, like Bhishma Pitamah, you know, standing on the other side, Krishna is reciprocating love with him by lifting the wheel. Nobody understands in the battle. Only these two lovers know each other, Bhishma and Krishna. So Lord is a powerful reciprocator. Because he is in the gopis, Gopi Gita, Krishna told the gopis, my dear gopis, in this world, the jiva can exclusively focus on me and love me. But unfortunately, I cannot exclusively love the jiva, he said. Why? Because I have millions of jivas who are my parts and parcels. My love for all the jivas gets divided. Whereas the jiva, for him, there is only one Lord to love. Who is that? Krishna. Therefore, the jiva can show exclusive devotion to me. Therefore, the jivas can conquer me. Like that, he said. Is it correct or not? What do you say? Correct? Not correct. Do you think Krishna doesn't show exclusive love to the jivas? Do you think his love gets divided amongst all jivas? For one jiva's sake, he has created this whole material world. He became Mahavishnu and expanded millions of universes, 14 planetary systems, and giving us all food, clothing, shelter, and sun and moon. It is all to simply satisfy every jiva who wanted to be independent. The kind of focus Krishna puts on each jiva's desire, nobody in this world can respect a jiva as much as Krishna can respect. So therefore, one should know, if he is such a powerful reciprocator of our love and devotion, how much more the devotee should be ready to also reciprocate with that. Therefore, Krishna is called as jealous. Jealous lover means he doesn't want anyone or anything to interfere in the love between him and his devotees. So, here what is he doing? Why did he jump off from the basket? Only to intensify the love of Vasudev towards him. So, and when, even to the gopis, Krishna said in Gopi Gita, my dear gopis, you think I was not here? I was present here, invisibly. But when you cry, you look more beautiful, Krishna said. When you cry, searching for me, you know, singing the Gopi Gita, your beauty increased a million times more. Otherwise, when I was with all of you gopis, you were quarreling with one another. How? You were quarreling. Every gopi was thinking, Krishna is only with me. You were proud. And you were not united. You thought that you are with Krishna, another gopi thought she is with Krishna. So you were all independent. But when I disappeared, you all became united. You became united together. United in separation. So I wanted to make you united. I wanted you to be free from pride. I wanted you to search for me. And when you searched for me singing the Gopi Gita, your tears of affection and devotion, he said, that was so beautiful to see. Therefore, I was hidingly watching you. I was imperceptibly present, neither Krishna says. So here also the same thing, why Krishna behaved like this. Here's the next para.
These are all glorified pastimes of the Lord, and there is no contradiction in such manifestations. Since Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he was never afraid of Kamsa. But to please his father, he agreed to be so. And the most brilliant part of his supreme character was that he begged pardon from his parents for being unable to serve their feet while absent from home because of fear of Kamsa. The Lord, whose lotus feet are worshipped by demigods like Brahma and Shiva, wanted to worship the feet of Vasudev. Such instruction by the Lord to the world is quite appropriate. Even if one is a Supreme Lord, one must serve his parents. A son is indebted to his parents in so many ways, and it is the duty of the son to serve his parents, however great the son may be. Indirectly, Krishna wanted to teach the atheists who do not accept the supreme fatherhood of God and they may learn from this action how much the Supreme Father has to be respected. Uddhava was simply struck with wonder by such glorious behavior of the Lord, and he was very sorry that he was unable to go with him.
Yeah. See, Uddhava is wondering, Krishna is behaving like a child. He is not a child. Krishna has no mother, no father. He is the God of everybody, everyone and everything. But when he does Leela, he becomes a child in the hand of Devaki and Vasudeva. And when he becomes a child, he becomes a perfect child. See, whatever the Lord does, he does it perfectly. When he becomes a lover, he becomes a perfect lover. Anything he does, when he is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, he becomes the best dancer. Correct? Similarly, when Krishna sings, he is the best singer. Similarly, when he becomes a son, he is the best son. When he becomes a warrior, he is the best warrior. When he becomes a teacher, he is the best teacher. Nobody can teach like him. Like he teaches Bhagavad Gita. Anything he does. So here he is showing how the son should be. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called as Matru Bhakta Shiromani. How he dealt with his mother after taking sannyas in Shantipur. He is very exemplary for all saintly persons. That the mother and father should never be mistreated or disrespected ignored. Even Shankaracharya, in the last part of his life, when mother was about to leave her body, Shankaracharya came to meet his mother and arranged for darshan. First he arranged for darshan of Shiva, he arranged for darshan of Vishnu, then he arranged darshan of Vaikuntha for her and bestowed Vaikuntha upon her. So you will see, here also Prabhupada is saying, Lord Krishna wants to teach the world about how the son should speak to mother and father. The way he speaks in Krishna book, Prabhupada has elaborated it more. You will read this. This section. So, that means, Lord is always supreme. See, Prabhupada says in the spiritual world, Krishna doesn't drive chariot putting Arjuna behind. It's not that all the time he is driving chariot. But when he comes to this world, out of love for his servant Arjuna, love for his own devotee Arjuna, he becomes a Parthsarathi, driver of his devotee. Or he becomes Yashoda Nandan. Or here he becomes Devaki Nandan. Or Vasudeva Nandan, like that. So, Uddhava's point is, let the people of the world not think of him to be an ordinary child. That is his point. Let's go to 18th verse.
Kova Amushyangri Sarojarenum Vismartumishita Puman Vijigran Yo Visfurad Bruvitapena Bhumir Bharam Kritante Natirashchakara.
Yeah?
Who, after smelling the dust of his lotus feet even once, could ever forget it? Simply by expanding the leaves of his eyebrows, Krishna has given the death blow to those who were burdening the earth.
See, from this verse onwards, from 18th onwards, 18 to 23, it talks about Krishna's merciful nature. Merciful master's mild nature. That's a heading I have given here. Although he's a supreme controller, his mild nature of being a great merciful master. You see, because Krishna is the greatest God, we may think that probably he may be a very aggressive one. He may have a tendency to punish all jivas. No. He says how merciful he is. One by one after another, the verses are going to glorify. What did he do with his eyebrows? It is said, with his loving glance, he looked at all the warriors in the battle of Kurukshetra. And he liberated all of them. I am going to show you two verses from Bhagavatam now. Here you will see. See here. We will recite this verse.
Tataiva chanye naraloka vira ya ahave krishna mukhara vindam netrai pibanto nayanabhiramam parthastra puta padamapurasya.
Read the translation.
Certainly others who were fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows.
Because Arjuna's arrows were ordered by Krishna. Therefore they were purified. Otherwise, ordinarily no arrow can purify in this world. Because Krishna ordered Arjuna, Arjuna sent the arrow, they got purified of sins.
And while seeing the lotus-like face of Krishna, so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord.
See, Bhagavatam says this. One more verse. Beside this verse also.
Vijayaratha kutumba atatotre. Dhritahaya rashmini tachriye kshaniye. Bhagavati ratirastu me mumursho. Yamiga niriksha hata gataha swarupam.
See, niriksha, when Krishna glanced upon all the warriors, hata means they were killed. Gata means sent. Where? Swarupa. To their own swarupas. Do you read the translation, please?
At the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon Arjuna's chariot driver, who stood with a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left, and who was very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after death.
See, this is the beauty of this verse. Last line, this says this, that those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms. Ataha gataha swarupam. It says. So that is what is this meaning of the 18th verse here. Simply by expanding the leaves of his eyebrows, Krishna gave death blow those are burdening on the earth. He destroyed all the demons on one hand. On the other hand, those who were looking at him in the battlefield, they were all delivered back home, back to Godhead. Which means actually, even if you have a dangerous encounter with Krishna, like what Putana had or the warriors of Kurukshetra had, even such an encounter sends you back to Godhead. Correct, no? What is because somebody having a good encounter with Krishna? 19th verse.
Drishta bhavadbir nanu rajasuye. Chaidyasya krishnam dvishatopi siddhihi. Yam yogina samsprahayanti samyak. Yogena kastat viraham saheta.
You have personally seen how the king of Chedi, Shishupal, achieved success in yoga practice, although he hated Lord Krishna. Even the actual yogis aspire after such success with great interest by performance of their various practices. Who can tolerate separation from him?
See, I will show you part of the Shishupal Vada. And Acharya Yajna. See, Yudhishthira Maharaj is welcoming Krishna and he is glorifying Krishna's grace for conducting the Acharya Yajna. And then he is asking Vyasadeva to take charge of the sacrifice. Many Brahmins are coming. So, in this way it goes on, but one place I will show you. You all know Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Bhishma and Drona to oversee the Rajasuya Yajna organization. Dushasana was food distribution, Ashwatthama was looking after the Brahmins, and Duryodhana was receiving all the gifts, and Vidura was master of treasury, and Krishna was desiring to gain the blessings of saintly people. So he was washing their feet. So in this way, many, many sages came here. If you see the names, Bharadwaja, Gautama, Asita, Vasishta, Vishwamitra, Parashuram, Kashyapa. Yeah. In fact, the offerings of ghee were poured into the fires with entirely gold pots. Yeah. So Brahma, even Shiva had come, see? Brahma, Shiva and Indra, they all took place in their arena. And there were gold platforms around the sacrificial arena. Celestials and rishis They all had come with it. So in this way, this is about the audience who came. Now this is the most important part which comes here, Agra Puja selection. After many days, when Vishnu Maharaj was crowned as emperor, on the final day of sacrifice, you know, the time came for Agra Puja. So Bhishma is telling to Yudhishthir, now you select the most important person in this assembly and worship him with Arghya. The guru, the priest, the relative, the snataka, Brahman, the friend and the king. These six all deserve this worship. So he has to bring these people, offer them elevated seat, and he's supposed to worship them. So he told them. Now Yudhishthir was asking all his counselors whom they felt was fit to worship. And there was some uncertainty amongst the people. Some suggested Brahma, some suggested Shiva or Vyasadeva. Then he asked Bhishma. Bhishma, you see, very clearly Bhishma said, as the sun shines amongst all luminous objects, Krishna shines among all kings. He is without doubt the foremost worthy of worship, he said. Now Sahadeva comes in the front. See what Sahadeva spoke. He announced, Emperor Yudhishthir would like to offer the Agra Puja to Krishna. Even though the principal gods are present, they are all subordinate to Krishna. He is the ultimate goal of all yogis and ascetics who aim for self-realization. But what need is there for me to speak of his glories? All you exalted personalities are well aware of Krishna's position. Indeed, Krishna is the super soul of all. Therefore, by satisfying him, we will satisfy all created beings. Like that Sahadeva spoke. And all Rishi, celestial assembly kings resoundingly approved. Everybody applauded and said, wonderful. Yes, Krishna should be given that respect. And Yudhishthira began to worship Krishna with tears in his eyes because this was his goal. Earlier, it's mentioned in Mahabharata earlier also, Yudhishthira said that the goal of this Ratsu Yajna was to declare to demigods as well as kings and all the leaders of the world that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And he is the one who should be worshipped with all our hearts. To glorify Krishna and to establish his supremacy, he conducted this yajna. So, here it was made possible now. So, with tears of love in his eyes, he offered worship. Showers of flowers fell from the sky. And he was offering the argya and somaras, everything. Everyone cheered and stood in respect as Krishna was worshipped. Now, you see what Shishupal says. Shishupal, along with him, some associates of Shishupal. They were outraged. They didn't agree. So he was waiting to see the offering made to Krishna because before the puja starts, if he speaks, then problem will be solved. He actually wanted to see that Agra Puja start at in between time, I will create a mess. That was whose plan? Shishupal's plan. He wanted to actually spoil the show. So because Shishupal was already envious of Krishna because Rukmini married Krishna. And when Shishupal told Jarasandha, look at this fellow. He came to the Ambika's temple and took away Rukmini. Now we are not going to spare his life. We will fight with him now. So Jarasandha said, Are you are shouting as if he has taken your wife. You know, Rukmini is not yet married to anybody. So if he is taking her, then you all fight. If you win the battle, it's wonderful. If you don't win the battle, you have lost it. That's all. But Shishupal had envy for Krishna. Therefore, that was there and lurking in his mind. This offering was too much for him to tolerate. See what he is saying. Surely destiny is supreme. Otherwise, how could this injustice have occurred? How could those present have been influenced by the words of a foolish boy? I can't agree with Sahadeva's statements. There are many more personalities who are much greater. Rishis, gods and earthly kings and all that. Krishna is not even a king. He is just a covered boy. Covered man. And nobody can ascertain his caste. People say he is son of Vasudeva, so he is Kshatriya. And then lived with Nanda Baba and Yashoda, so he is Vaishya. He is Kshatriya or Vaishya, who knows? Like that he was speaking like this. So, how he can be worshipped in this assembly? So, he is not the eldest, he is not the wisest, he is not the powerful person, all that he spoke. So, he was holding the hand in his sword, in his belt. So we all pay tribute to Mr. King, but this is clearly a mistake and all. So, in this way he goes on and on. Very strong words he speaks in the world, a period of time. You can read in Mahabharata, you will get to. So when he spoke like that, what happened? Other kings rose in anger upon hearing Shishupal's words. Some people left the assembly, some actually wanted to stop Shishupal. Now Bhishma actually glorifies, this is very important. Please read this one. Bhishma
at once stood up and justified the selection of Krishna. He spoke fearlessly, checking Shishupal as he walked away. He who does not approve of the worship of Krishna, who is the oldest person in the universe, deserves no respect at all. O King of Chedi, we do not worship Krishna out of material motivations. Many times I have heard from those very advanced in knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Person in whom the universe itself is established. Foolish men like you can never understand this.
Yeah.
Bhishma gave numerous reasons why Krishna should be worshipped. He described the many wonderful feats Krishna had achieved. Even as a child, he had slain the many powerful demons Kamsa had sent to kill him. In the end, he had killed Kamsa himself. Once Krishna had lifted a great hill with one hand and held it for a full week. Bhishma challenged any king to match Krishna's prowess in battle or any wealthy man to display more riches. No one could show more knowledge or wisdom than Krishna. In every way, Krishna was possessed of superlative opulences. When Bhishma stopped speaking, Sahadeva rose and lifted his left foot. He was angry and his voice boomed. If there is any man here who feels Krishna should not be worshipped, then let him step forward. I shall place my left foot on his head. Who will give me a reply? As Sahadev spoke, the sky reverberated with voices crying, "Excellent, well spoken," and showers of flowers fell on his head. Narada then spoke, "Those men who will not worship Krishna should be considered dead even though breathing. They should not even be gazed upon." Shishupal became even angrier.
Because now Shishupal was only one fellow opposing Krishna, but Bhishma, Sahadev, Narada, they all supported Krishna. So again he became angrier. Yeah.
He turned towards his supporters and shouted, "Here I am, ready to be led you. What needs to be considered? Let us stand in battle against the Yadus and the Pandavas." Many kings had been agitated by Shishupal's speech. They now gathered around the Chedi king. Weapons clashed as they
were drawn. See, the problem is what? Shishupal wanted to divide the sacrificial arena into two and create a battle. When there's a bloodshed, then the yajna will be considered unsuccessful. See, Yudhishthira Maharaj supporters, they were also preparing for fighting a battle. So, and then Yudhishthira Maharaj is turning to Bhishma and what he said. So read this, "O grandsir."
O grandsir, these kings are seized by wrath and seem to bent upon battle. What should I do to avoid my sacrifice being spoiled and my subjects being harmed?
This was the intention of Shishupal. He wanted to see the sacrifice spoiled so that Yudhishthira Maharaj will not be glorified and Krishna will not be glorified. So he is a very mean-minded fellow. Read.
Bhishma laughed and replied in a voice which Shishupal could hear clearly, "O best of the Kurus, have no fear that Shishupal can create any disturbance in Krishna's presence. He and his supporters are like a pack of dogs barking at a sleeping lion."
So Krishna is like the sleeping lion and Shishupal and his associates are like a pack of dogs. Yeah.
"Only as long as Madhava does not act can they exhibit their valor. He is the creator and destroyer of all the beings in the universe. Shishupal has very little intelligence. He will surely take all these kings with him to death's abode." It seems that Krishna now desires to take back to himself the power he gave to Shishupal. That is why the Chedi's king's intelligence has become so perverse.
Yeah. And Shishupal heard Bhishma's words and he became wild. So he criticized him also. Are you not afraid to speak such words in front of all these kings and all that? He called him arrogant, foolish and all that. So he went on railing on, insulting Bhishma, insulting Krishna. Went on and on and on. So he is going on. So Bhima became enraged, seeing that Bhishma is being insulted. So he became coppery red. So this goes on this pastime. But here you will see towards the end one very important point will come now. Here comes one point. Read this one. Okay, Shishupal had been born with three eyes. Read the third line.
Shishupal had been born with three eyes and four arms. As soon as he took birth, he screamed and brayed like an ass. An invisible voice from the heavens prophesied that he would grow up powerful and fearless, but that one day he would be killed by a great hero. When Shishupal's mother had asked the voice who that hero would be, the voice replied that the child's extra arms and the third eye would disappear when he was placed upon the lap of the person who would one day kill him. This came to pass when young Shishupal was placed upon Krishna's lap.
That happened. So she came to know who is going to kill him. Yeah.
Horrified when she realized that Krishna would kill her son, Shishupal's mother had begged, "Please grant me a boon, O Krishna. Pardon my son for the offenses he may commit against you. I desire his welfare and long life." Krishna replied, "O blessed lady, even when Shishupal deserves to be killed, I will forgive him. Indeed, I shall tolerate 100 offenses from him."
Yeah. And Bhishma concluded, this wretch is destined to be killed by Krishna. So Bhishma knew this. He is saying this. So again, Shishupal attacked Bhishma again, speaking many horrible things. So in this way, it goes on. But you will see that when he goes on like this, you will see towards the end, it is mentioned. As Shishupal spoke, Krishna thought of his discus weapon, chakra, Sudarshan chakra. It appeared in his hand and Krishna raised it above his head. And he releasing the chakra, see what he says, "I have kept my promise to my aunt. Shishupal's offenses have now exceeded the number specified and now I will kill him." The chakra left Krishna's hand and streaked towards Shishupal even as he continued his tirade, he says. And then, he tried to draw his sword and everything, he couldn't. So, the rishis were pleased by Krishna's act and praised him for it. Again, the assembly became peaceful. So, that means the Rashtra Yajna was successfully ended without difficulty. So, here it is mentioned, read the translation in the Bhagavatam there.
"You have personally seen how the king of Chedi Shishupal achieved success in yoga practice, although he hated Lord Krishna. Even the actual yogis aspire after such success with great interest by performance of their various practices. Who can tolerate separation from him?"
Yeah. So, Shishupal, even without having to do any yoga, mystic yoga or anything, he was killed by Krishna and he was given actually a great position again. Here in the middle of that purport, it says, Shishupal insulted Lord Krishna and he was finally killed by the Lord. But it was seen by everyone in the assembly that a light flashed out of his body of the king of Chedi and merged into the body of Krishna. This means that Chediraj achieved salvation by attaining oneness with the Supreme. So, in this way, now he is saying that showing mercy to the enemy, that's the topic going on. Shishupal is enemy naturally, but Krishna delivered Shishupal also. Like Agasura also acted inimically, Krishna gave him Swarupya Siddhi. Putana acted inimically, Krishna gave her also liberation. That is the next verse. The 20th verse already I quoted. Tateva Chani Narloka Veera. Correct, no? Yeah. So the purport is very elaborate. It explains the same point. How Kurukshetra warriors achieved the Lord's abode. And 21 we will recite this. Swayam pasam yati shayastrayadishah. Swarajya lakshmyapta samasta kamah. Balim harad vishchira loka palaihi. Kirita kottedita pada peetah.
Lord Shri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of trees and is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet.
It's called Trayadish. All kinds of trees means he is a master of three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. He is master of three purushavataras. He is a master amongst three gunavataras, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. He is a master of three shaktis, Chit Shakti, Maya Shakti and Tatasa Shakti. Like that he says. He is the master of three pairs of opulences, he says. Totally how many opulences? 6. So, 3 pairs of opulences, like that he says. It's called Trayadish. So, there are many threes like that. Like we say, Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti, Tatasya Shakti. He is the master of three.
Tatasya Kainkaryam Alambratano Viglapayatyanga Yadugrasenam Tishtannishannam Parameshti Dishnye Nyabodayadeva Nidharayeti.
See, after Kamsa was killed, who is supposed to become the king? Who is Dwarakadish? Krishna is supposed to become Dwarakadish, isn't it? He's supposed to rule the kingdom. But actually, Krishna told Ugrasena to take the rule. Ugrasena was actually old also. He's Kamsa's father. But Ugrasena was sidelined by Kamsa. Kamsa removed Ugrasena and put himself on the throne. Now, after Kamsa was killed, Ugrasena was made the king by Krishna. It was Krishna's wish that Ugrasena should be the ruler. And then Krishna was reporting to him. That's what he's mentioning. Read the translation.
Therefore, O Vidura, does it not pain us, his servitors, when we remember that Lord Krishna used to stand before King Ugrasena, who was sitting on the royal throne, and used to submit explanations before him, saying, "Oh my Lord, please let it be known to you."
Yeah. See, Ugrasena is sitting on the throne and Krishna is reporting to him. And he's asking, "Oh Lord, please hear the report." He's giving report. So, Buddhava is feeling very pain that heart, because he knows Krishna is the Supreme Lord, master of all masters. And he's making someone else master and himself a mere reporter. So, he's feeling pained. Like sometimes we have seen our spiritual master asking the devotees, "So next year, where should we go for yatra?" Devotees used to tell him, "Maharaj, you know where to go every time. Wherever you feel, you can take us." "No, no, no, I would like to know from you." So, although he is in a superior position, he is seeking the suggestion and advice of somebody in an inferior position. That actually makes it a very transcendental phenomenon. Correct, no? Similarly, Krishna here, read the purport, it becomes more clear. Read it.
Lord Krishna's gentle behavior before his so-called superiors, such as his father, grandfather and elder brother, his amiable behavior with his so-called wives, friends and contemporaries, his behavior as a child before his mother Yashoda, and his naughty dealings with his young girlfriends cannot bewilder a pure devotee like Uddhava. Others who are not devotees are bewildered by such behavior of the Lord, who acted just like a human being.
Yeah, correct. So, you can take one, how Krishna becomes a child of Devaki and Vasudev, then go to the how Krishna becomes a child of Yashoda and Nandababa, how he dealt with them. Then how Krishna was the best friend of Gopas, was the best lover of Gopis, best husband of the Dwaraka queens, best friend of Arjuna and Uddhava, and best lord of Vrajabasis, best lord of all Yadus, and in Kurukshetra battlefield, best advisor of Pandavas. So you can actually take every aspect of Krishna and see. But Krishna's amiable and sweet and behavior, he says, is very bewildering to the common people. Most people in India also think that Krishna was a cousin of the Pandavas. They think he's one of the Pandava cousins. But actually, they don't know. Krishna is not even extraordinary. He's a Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Uddhava is saying, your human-like behavior is making us feel that you are also one amongst us. Like that he is saying. And then the 2 verses we will recite and we will conclude.
Aho bakiyam stana kala kutam jigam saya payayadapya sadvi lebhe gatim datri uchitam tatonyam kam vadayalum sharanam brajema. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon named Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast?
See, Krishna's nature is, he will always, is there one good quality in this person so that I can liberate this devotee and take him to my abode? Like that Lord is saying. When he sees demons, he is looking for one good quality to liberate them. And when he sees devotees, he is thinking, is there one bad quality in the devotee which I can purify? He wants to fine-tune the devotee more and more and more to a point where devotee will be completely a pure devotee. Similarly, if he sees demons, they have ocean of bad quality. So there is nothing to search bad quality. So what he searches in them? Is there one small good, what was one good quality in Putana? She had a desire to breastfeed Krishna in the previous janam as the sister of Bali. When she saw Vamanadeva as a small beautiful baby, she wanted to become mother of the child. She felt some vatsalya towards Vamanadeva. So the next life she became Putana. So now she came to breastfeed this child. So Krishna thought, at least she had a desire to serve me as a mother. So Krishna took note of that one good quality. And then he magnified it and made her a Dhatri. Dhatri Uchitam Tatvanya, it says. That is his nature. So, therefore, Krishna saw two good qualities in Putana. She came to meet me in which place? In Vrindavan. That was one good quality. And then she also had a desire to breastfeed Krishna. So he took that and he magnified it. So, therefore, this is glorified by Shukadeva Goswami like anything. Krishna, not just liberating her, but giving her the mother's position. So Krishna's forgiveness knows no limits. Krishna's compassion, how it's oceaning. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu. This is a proof for the Karuna Sindhu nature of Krishna.
Manye Suran Bhagavatam Strayadishe Samrambha Marga Binivishta Chittan Yesam Yuge Chakshatatarksha Putram Amse Sunabha Yudama Patantam.
I consider the demons who are inimical towards the Lord to be more than the devotees, because while fighting with the Lord, absorbed in thoughts of enmity, they are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda, the son of Tarksha, Kashyapa, and carrying the wheel weapon in his hand.
So what he is saying, the demons think of the Lord more strongly than even devotees, like that he says. So Prabhupada immediately clarifies in the purport, he says, after 4 or 5 lines, he says, he is so kind that he awards salvation to even his enemies who come in contact with him. Actually, demons can never be equal to the pure devotees. But Uddhava was thinking in that way because of his feeling of separation. So there is one verse I will show you. See, the two associates of Lord Vishnu, Jai Vijay, maintained the feeling of enmity for a very long time because of always thinking of Krishna in this way. They regained the shelter of the Lord and having returned back home back to Godhead. Okay, another verse. Yata vairanu bandena. Please repeat this.
Yata vairanu bandena. Matyastan mayatam yat na tata bhakti yogena iti me nishchitamatihi.
Narada is telling this. By devotional service, one cannot achieve such intense absorption in thought of Supreme Lord as one can through the enmity towards him. This is my opinion. Why he says like this? Because Prabhupada says here, Narada Muni Tapan's devotee praises Krishna's enemies like Shishupal. Why? Because they are completely absorbed in Krishna. Indeed, he thinks himself deficient in the inspiration of being feelingly absorbed in Krishna consciousness. This does not mean that the enemies of Krishna are more elevated than Krishna's pure devotees. So, Prabhupada says like this. So, the whole idea is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, when I see the karmis, non-devotees, working so hard for sense gratification, I get very inspired that I should work like that for Krishna service. Like that he says. So, but you will find as devotees, we are not able to become as serious in our service to Krishna as the non-devotees are enthusiastic for material life. How many of you observed that? Correct, no? That's what they are saying. See, we went to Shimla once for a youth camp in 96-97. So 5,000 feet above the mean sea level, we went to Shimla top. Clouds were practically touching the mountains there. And there we found there is an entire city of Shimla there. So many shops with so many varieties of commodities available. When His Holiness Shukadeva Maharaj saw that, he said, Radhesham, just see, for the sake of sense gratification, living entities work so hard to bring all the commodities 5,000 feet above. They have, you go to the hilltop, nothing is not available there. For sense gratification, you can see this three tall buildings they made. You saw this? This in the entrance, correct? No? Yeah. Now, this is one sample I'm telling, but you will find the living entities do huge construction work like the flyovers. They work day and night. What kind of work they do? You see, the British people put all these railway lines all over India, correct? No? Yeah. The non-devotees, you will see, for getting sense gratification, they will go to any extent. You can see that. But when it comes to devotion service, we always fall short. Correct, no? We do little service and say, can I take some day rest? People want some half an hour rest, 1 hour rest. So what a little service they do and they want some rest. But non-devotees, they work late nights. You've seen that? They work on three shifts. Many IT companies work on three shifts. First week, one shift, second week, second shift, third shift, like that. So, therefore, he is saying that, Hare, when I look at non-devotees, you know, we can't match. Like that, Narada is also saying, Uddhava is also saying. That doesn't mean non-devotees are greater, but devotees have to take inspiration. That's the point. So, with this, we have completed the Lord's Leela, which is covered in 10 verses. In the 10 verses, how the Lord's Leela may be bewildering sometimes, but the bewilderment will be cleared up if you hear from Guru Parampara, and also if you hear more complete picture. So Krishna always remains supreme, even though he may certain times behave the way he behaves in his past times. Manushya cheshtam, it is said. Manushya cheshtam means he does behavior like a human, but that doesn't make him human. He is always God. He is always supreme. That's the conclusion of this. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you very much, Rai Shambhu, for giving